Welcome back to the Embody Your Wild podcast. My name is Jasmine and I am your host. And I've been feeling really inspired to speak this week on victim consciousness. So if you've been here for a while or if you follow me on social media, you'll know how paramount victim consciousness is in this work. It's so foundational for women to deep dive into this paradigm that so many live in. You know, it's ingrained into us from birth. It's very much how we relate, how society encourages people to relate in life. And it's one of those kind of almost mind-shattering moments when you start to acknowledge and realize how and where this all lives within your life and how you have been feeding into that. And that can be really, it can be really crunchy at times. And one of the things that I really, really aspire to do is to ensure that when women do journey down this pathway of exploring how victim consciousness lives in areas of life, that they know that it's okay, in the sense of we all live in that. Because one of the big things that can happen is we can then get victimized by the fact that we are a victim, or that we can be victimized by other aspects of victim consciousness. So what I'm going to do very, very quickly is speak into what victim consciousness is, and then we'll kind of go a little bit into what I would love to speak about more. So victim consciousness is very similar to the victim triangle or the drama triangle. So victim triangle is kind of the body of work that I've based the victim consciousness paradigm off of, but I've added a little bit more into it from what I see. So the victim triangle, we'll start there. Lynn Forrest is the woman who has come to be known for the victim triangle. She kind of has done a lot of writing on it, a lot of research on it. She's a really incredible thought leader in this area. And the victim triangle is an inverted triangle with perpetrator and rescuer at the top of the inverted triangle and then victim at the bottom. We all play into all of these archetypes. And we tend to lean more into one, rescuer or perpetrator, but we'll, or villain, sorry, victim. But we will always end up in victim. It doesn't matter if we begin in victim and we kind of just stay there, or we find ourselves as the rescuer or the villain or the perpetrator, however you want to coin it, and then we end up down in victim. So there's only one way. And it's down, and it's into victim. So that is what the victim consciousness paradigm is based upon. But I've added another layer to this in the sense of the layer of self-responsibility. So self-responsibility cannot live whilst you're in victim consciousness. And this is the thing that I've been really exploring within this triangle. And why I've added this extra layer in is because victim, if you're in victim, if you're in rescuer, if you are in perpetrator, you cannot hold self-responsibility. And this is something that we are seeing more and more of coming out in really quite intense ways in society. Now you can look to politics, religion, just your day-to-day interactions in work, in relationship, in family systems. There's just so many dynamics playing out at the moment for a lot of people, a lot of women and people in general, where there is this over-identifying with parts of being human, or distorted parts of being human, that is creating these, I guess you could call them opportunities to over-identify. Now, I want to bring this in a way where it gives you the opportunity to see how it can impact your life force energy. So one of the things that I'm really starting to see, and this is all going to feed back into victim consciousness at some point, is that a lot of the world is living from a very cerebral, a very egoic, a very unconscious egoic way of living. And with that, there's this element of over-identifying with anything and everything. Like, and I'm going to stick to examples in the spiritual world for this particular piece, and I'll eventually go into more of what we're seeing in the world as a whole in later episodes. One of the best examples I can give for someone who is overly identifying with something is the whole empath and highly sensitive person paradigm or identity parade, shall we call them. There is this body within, within spirituality, that loves to identify themselves as empaths and highly sensitive people. Now, this does not mean that you are not empathetic or highly sensitive, but there is this fraction of people who overly identify with these labels. And within doing so, they find themselves victims of this, because having an identity like that can only lead to feeling disempowered. And when you are feeling disempowered, you bring yourself into victim. And when you find, this is a really perfect example, when you find that you have all of these big sensations and emotions that you believe are not yours, that you are looking for someone to come and rescue you, or you are feeling villainized by the fact that you can feel such and such walking down the streets emotions, or that you can feel your mum's emotions or whatever. So you essentially put yourself straight into the victim corner and find yourself stuck in this really disempowered state. However, the interesting thing about this is a lot of the time there is a part of us, and I say that as in I know this from my own personal experience, but also from working with women on this topic for a really long time, is that there's a part of ourselves that actually really enjoys the story and the identity of being victim. Because it feeds something within us. It feeds the ego, it feeds the mind, it feeds that part of us that loves to be disempowered. And this is just a part of being human. It's part of working with the subconscious, with the unconscious, is known that this desire for this experience or this feeling is there. But when we find ourselves in situations or experiences or identities like this, is we will never hold ourselves responsible. Because that does not fit into these forms of identities. It's not our responsibility, so I'm not going to do X, Y, and Z. You know, another example is a lot of people can get really caught up in identifying with the story. So as an example, someone may have experienced a big wounding of some sort, a big emotional wounding, energetic wounding at some point in their past. And what they're finding is that they have started to unconsciously identify with it. So instead of potentially saying, I have experienced a wounding of some description in the past, they are actually identifying with I am wounded, which instantly puts them into a state of victimhood. And this is where people can get a bit like prickly about victim consciousness, is that they're like, oh, but I did experience this, so what am I meant to do? Not feel the feelings, not what, like, I'm not meant to be victim to this, so what? What am I meant to do? And victim consciousness is never about bypassing an experience. There is no part in this that is asking you to be like bypass your experience. However, it is asking you to inquire about whether or not you are holding this experience as a baton of victimhood, as an identity of victimhood, that is actually keeping you from living in a way that is more responsible, more in integrity, more in alignment with your present adult self. Or if you're choosing to, because it is always a choice. This is always a choice, whether it's a conscious choice or an unconscious choice. There is a choice here. Are you choosing to collapse into victim consciousness around something instead of beginning to feel it and be with it? One of the things that I find happens in these circumstances is we can find it easier to actually put the identity of victim or of whatever it is, of perpetrator onto the other, or whatever that thing is, whatever the identity, even if it's an identity outside of like victim consciousness. So maybe it is the highly sensitive person or the empath or whatever it is. It's so much easier to stay with the identity than to actually feel the sensation and the emotions underneath. So much easier to stay in the mind than it is to drop into the body. And actually, when we find ourselves in that, we can actually find ourselves just getting really stagnant, and this energy isn't moving or releasing. But there's also a part of you that really enjoys it. And this is the thing that prickles people. It's like, I don't enjoy that. Why would I enjoy that? And it's not to say that it's on a fully conscious level. But there's a level of your unconscious that does deeply enjoy having these experiences. And this is just a part of being human. And that's okay. But there's a part of you that is invited into exploring when you find yourself identifying with something. Are you identifying with it because it comes from an egoic place? You know, maybe there's a tension attached to it. Maybe it's this part of you that didn't receive the attention that it really, really yearned for when it was younger. And so this is how it's manifesting now. Maybe there's this part of you that just deeply desires to be held, But how that is manifesting is it's really putting you into this victim category so that you can be rescued. And essentially that desire to be held and loved has inverted on itself and actually put you in a really disempowering state where you aren't choosing to hold yourself in responsibility and ensuring that you never feel empowered. Because in that dynamic, you're always going to go from receiving the rescuer to rejecting the rescuer and putting them then into perpetrator because they breathed the wrong way or they didn't say exactly what you wanted them to say, and it hurt you, so you're back into victim. You know, working with really, really quite fiery parts within this dynamic. So anything that really brings you out of your body has the ability to bring you out of connection with your life source energy. It has this ability to bring you out of connection with your life force energy. And within that, you disconnect from the deeper part of yourself. You disconnect from the energetic frequency that is moving your life, which is moving the needle, and you allow the mind to take hold. Now, one of the things that is really important on this little piece is the fact that in embodiment circles, in a lot of circles, there's a like reject the mind. The mind is bad, the ego is bad, blah blah blah. And I don't agree with it. I see the mind, it can be a particularly tricky part to come into relationship with. But I see the mind and the ego as one of our greatest protectors. Now, I say that with the fact that there's a bit of a distorted lens on top of it. But in essence, what the mind and the ego are trying to do is to keep you alive. And anything that is out of the ordinary, out of the mundane of your day-to-day existence, you know, it is going to freak out in some form or another. So the mind is not ever here to, in my opinion, be an absolute arse. It can manifest in that way sometimes. However, it is here to protect you. So when we are starting to recognize that you are actually stuck in the mind, where you've been living in your mind in a very cerebral way for a long time, the journey down into the body can feel like a long one, and that is okay. When we start to unwind these egoic identities and stuff, we're going to have this natural start to drop down into the body, and this energy of the body is going to start to lead us more through life. However, this is never going to take, you know, it's not going to be an overnight job. So it's about tuning into where and how you are in relationship to your mind, to your body at this point, and just becoming aware of what's your starting point here. And it's not to then go into comparison of, oh, so-and-so is this, so-and-so is that. Our journey into the body is so deeply unique for us. Like, I cannot go to you. I cannot say, given how many women I've worked with, I cannot say that this is the pathway in. You know, there is no one pathway into the body, and there is no one way that your body is going to start to communicate with you. That's why it's so deeply yours, so deeply your journey. So that's just a little piece to add on to here with that, this idea that, oh, it should be a certain way. One of the things that's really, really interesting it with this point of work is because when we have held many identities for a while, we also start to build a life around those identities. And you can see this a lot on social media. I'm not going to name names of any people. However, like if you want to go and start to explore this, going and having a look at people like influencers and all of that within more of the mainstream world, and you'll actually start to see how identities are created and personas are created and whole lives are created around these personas and identities. Now I'm kind of flipping a little bit away from victim consciousness, but you can also see like certain aspects of victim consciousness once you really, really start to fine tune your aerial for this type of thing. One of the things I get have a lot of conversations around with victim consciousness and starting to step into this is the fact that a lot of people are worried around the changes that may happen as these identities start to shift and these dynamics start to change within, you know, romantic relationships, family relationships, work relationships, any form of relationships, relationship with the world. God, so, like so many people are victim to life. Like you can just like breathe, can just breathe in it in the wrong way in front of someone and someone becomes victim of that. So it's so deeply ingrained that the idea of this shift can be terrifying. And one of the things that I always say is I cannot guarantee what change is going to come into your life from exploring this. There is nothing that I can guarantee of how your life is going to look once you have started to journey through this. The one thing that I can actually know, I'm going to retract that a little bit. The one thing I can guarantee is your relationships moving forward will be deeper, more intimate, more vulnerable, and more in integrity with that deeper part of you, because you're not going to be so much meeting people from this egoic identity. You're actually going to meet them from more of this heart level, this soul level. And with that means that there will be shifts in any current relationships that you have. I can't speak for everyone, but I know that for me it's been a really beautiful journey into having far more deeper relationships with people who I was very, very much on the victim triangle with. You know, it was there was dynamics that have now evolved into something very tender and loving that were not that before, and it has enabled our relationships to be far more supportive for both. And the thing with this is it doesn't always take both parties or however many parties are in the dynamic to start to unwind this. The work that you do as an individual will naturally have a impact on any dynamic you have in your life. And it's essentially giving you the empowerment, the responsibility to find a new way of being. You know, I think on some level, even on this like unconscious level, sometimes it's just this feeling in the pit of your stomach where you're like, I know that there's more to this dynamic that I am missing. I know that there's something around the dynamic that plays out that isn't in full service to the relationship. And it's in those moments of choosing to follow that nudge and lean into a newer way, something that's far more supportive for you. Because the thing with being in a paradigm such as victim consciousness is that it sucks the energy out of you. On some level, it's exhausting. It's exhausting the well of life force within you. Because you're having to put on this hat, this egoic hat. And that takes energy. And when you actually start to take that hat off and sink into yourself on this deeper, more fruitful level, you actually begin to realize that there's so much more available to you from a space of less exhaustion and depletion, but from a space that is so deeply connected and tender and true to you as you are. When we wear these masks, these identities, we are actually, in essence, hiding a part of ourselves. And maybe we're hiding that from ourselves or from others. It's very unique to each individual. But it's about allowing yourself the space to take that mask off and to explore what's underneath all of these identities and stories. One thing that I want to kind of close with is that we can, and this is just something to be very mindful of in the spiritual world, is we can also go too far the other way and release all identity. And this is in such disservice to the human experience. You know, we have identity. You know, my name is Jasmine. And I have a podcast, but I'm not my podcast. I am not the podcast. I have titles and facilitation roles, but I don't identify with them, but they are a part of me. And it's just tuning into where are you over-identifying and also where you may be under-identifying. Where are you avoiding the human experience? That topic is for another day, because that is a whole different kettle of fish. So I just want to wrap up with a few things. So identities or over-identifying with these ideals, these egoic ideals or identities, is just another way that you are avoiding feeling what's there. And it's an easy way to do it because it's so much easier to lean into the ego and the identity than it is to lean into what's underneath. And that's not wrong, but it is our responsibility to be with everything that's here. To not project it out onto others, to not leak it out onto others or into our life, and to not let it fester, you know. Energy needs to move, and when we refuse to allow the energy to move, we are in a full disservice to ourselves. And I know that can sound harsh, but there's a reality to that, there's a truth to that, you know. There are so many layers to being deeply devoted to the self, and this is one of them. It's like, where are you consciously or unconsciously choosing not to devote time to yourself to lean into what's here? What is it that's keeping you cycling around in the identity of victim, in the identity of whatever it is that's keeping you actually away from the deeper thing. And then another thing to just kind of be mindful of as you explore this is this process, victim consciousness, is never about bypassing the fact that you've had experiences. I have seen a few people go the other way in the sense of when they've kind of started to journey around victim consciousness, that they push away and they reject the fact that they've ever had a deeply painful experience. Now, I'm not someone who uses the term "you were the victim of something," or that you were the survivor of something. I find those two phrases very, very disempowering. Me saying someone "you were the victim of something" is placing an identity, and I believe that the survivor term, I think, however well intentioned it is, the energy behind the term survivor of assault or whatever you want to kind of point it towards still has this really disempowering energy behind it. So you'll never hear me calling someone that or placing those identities onto people for that reason. So it's not about bypassing the experiences, but it's about holding them and holding yourself through it without placing these identities of victim onto yourself, or others may place upon you as well, and getting stuck in that identity for years, you know, and that being your story. You know, it's the "hi, I'm Jasmine, and I'm a victim of blah," you know. That kind of, you meet someone for the first time, it's the first thing that you kind of introduce to yourself, you know. Is that really supportive of you? What are you wanting to present to the world, and why are you wanting to present yourself like that? You know, this is such a vast topic to speak into. It's never a podcast episode. I mean, this is only going to be 35 minutes-ish long. But any size of podcast is not going to do this topic justice, because it's so deeply unique to each individual, which is why that I've created a in-person immersion in February for women to come and journey through this, because this is one of those things, and I'll share a tiny bit about my journey. I've been on my path for years before I found victim consciousness, and it was one of the things that I had been missing from my journey, because I was such a big victim. You have no idea. I will share more of it on the immersion, because it's actually quite hilarious how extreme it was. I was getting nowhere. I was the victim of life. It was. Oh, I fucking loved it. Is the honest answer. I loved being a victim. I totally got off on it, being the one that needed to be rescued all the time. That was always angry at the world. There was so much there for me. And when I found victim consciousness, everything in my life changed. And it was confronting, but I would not have the life I have now. I would not have the connections that I have now if it wasn't for that. And I'll go more into this on the actual immersion itself, because I feel like my journey is actually a really good example of how important victim consciousness is for living a life that is more aligned, more fulfilling, that is more deeply connected to yourself, to others, Yeah, it's a really powerful example, and it's also why I speak so much into it, because I see how it plays out, and I've seen how it can rip through life when it's out of control. Not just seen it, I've experienced it firsthand. And I've also seen how powerful it is when you begin to unwind it and when you begin to step into that next level of responsibility, that next level of stepping out of self-abandonment, martyrdom, just being the victim and collapsing, like energetically throughout all of life. So yeah, this immersion is going to be a real deep dive in. There's only going to be space for there's only space for six women on it, because I want it to be a super bespoke experience, so that you can receive what it is that you need for your unique experience through life. And the way that I'm setting it up is we're going to kind of move in through the mind and then down into the body, so that the mind has its space. Because the mind loves to be a part of it, and we can't reject that or like deny that. So we're going to allow the mind to have its space, but then we're going to drop into the body as well. There's going to be teachings, there's going to be a deeper dive in, there's going to be space to ask questions, share, there's hot, so much there. And it's a 6-hour immersion. You will be fed during that time some really delicious organic foods. And then afterwards, you will have a nice chunky integration pack. So if you've been to any of my retreats or anything like that, you'll know that there's like a retreat immersion pack, but I'm specifically creating a integration pack for this victim consciousness immersion to enable you to continue to go forwards with the teachings and the tools and integrate it into your life more fully. So that is on the 24th of February, and I'm really, really looking forward to journeying that with you. If you have any questions, you're welcome to drop me a message over on Instagram. I'll pop the link for the immersion in the show notes. And then, yeah, if anything comes up question-wise, you're more than welcome to drop me a message over on Instagram. And yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing who joins us for this, yeah, transformative portal on the 24th. So yeah, thank you so much for listening. I hope some of this has landed for you. And yeah, reach out, let me know, and I will be back next week.